So I believe I'm broadcasting, but I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if there's anybody that can check. Can you check me? That's great. I'll assume that we are broadcasting. Welcome to those of you who are joining us online. As I said, I believe that we are live now and broadcasting, but not 100% sure. Welcome, brethren. As you can see, I'm super excited. Now, you may think that I'm super excited because I think it's been close to 2 years since I have led the worship service. So yes, I'm excited because of that, and I'll probably make a lot of mistakes up here for the first time in 2 years. But that's not why I'm super excited. So you might think I'm super excited because it's 181 days before Passover, and that's 7 days closer than we were last week. So that's I'm excited because of that, but that's not why I'm super excited. The reason I'm super excited is our sister Lisa is here with us. Yeah. Isn't that amazing, brethren? That is absolutely, we praise God. What a miracle. So welcome, Sister Lisa. Thank you. I wasn't expecting you so soon. I knew you would eventually be here. Thrilled that you're with us today. Let's open today, brethren, as we celebrate our opportunity to be together. Please stand. Page number 11. Let's glorify our God with the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. No, that's what I thought. No video. I don't know why. I'll try and sort that out after. No video. Let me see if I can do something else. Okay, so I think we have a video now just off the computer. Hopefully this will work out. But anyway, let's praise God. Crown him with many crowns. And I'm just getting a little bit of a echo here. I'll just turn this down. Sing out, brethren.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wandering eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the shame, to those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known. Receive the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days, adored and magnified.
Amen. Crown him with many crowns. Let's continue, brethren, on page number 211. And let's sing of that glorious location Zion, the city of Zion, where our Lord will be here on earth, reigning from Zion, of which glorious things are spoken. Page 211, glorious things of thee are spoken.
Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode.
Amen. For the opening prayer, our brother Reg Reich.
Most Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for having us here with you, for allowing us to be here in this facility that we can spend our time together as your children. Lord, we thank you so much for those who have joined us on the internet. We pray with them all that they will receive your blessing in their lives. Lord, we're so thankful. We're so very thankful that we can be together here in your name. We ask, Lord, to be with us. Keep our ears open, our eyes open, that we hear the service today, the message today will be, Lord, full into our hearts. We thank you, Lord, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Reg. Brethren, please remain standing. We'll have our scripture reading. It is taken from 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. And that will be read by our brother Costas.
These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Costa. And brethren, I'll just implore you to just remain standing for the intercessory prayer, which we'll have brought to us by our brother, Gord. Thank you.
Dearest Father, our awesome God and true healer, we bring before you people that need healing, and also people that have received your wonderful healing. We don't know that the world, or we do know that the world and their doctors and hospitals can do nothing like you can do. So we bring two people before you today, and we want you to heal them. We ask you to heal them. We beg for you to heal them, but you know what is best for you. And you will do what they need to be done to them in time. We bring our sister Mary Berdar, and our brother Leon Patrice, you know when and how you will heal them. And we don't have to worry, as your sons and daughters, as they are, that they will be healed one day. We'll all be healed one day. Whatever diseases we might have, whether they are known diseases or diseases that yet to come. But we bring before you and praise you, Father, for two wonderful healings that you've done for our sister, Margaret Townsend, and that she is just progressing so well. We give you all the praise, Father, that you have dealt this way with Mary and with our sister, Lisa Palmateer, who is such an example to us, Father, and that you have looked after her. And she, this is the first time she's been able to attend services in months. She is just so vibrant and happy. She is such a blessing. You work sometimes in many wonderful different ways that we don't understand. But just to see her today has up all our spirits. And we're just as happy for her and her family as she appears to be. So we just thank you, Father, for all of these healings. And we ask for that you heal, continue to heal the people that need it, and that you look after all of the brethren around the world who are trying to love, honor, and obey you. So we just thank you, Father, so much, and ask these things in your blessed Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Gord. Brethren, please take your hymnals and turn to page number 57. And thanks, Brother Gord, for including praise in your intercessory prayer. Both Sister Margaret, just a wonderful servant of God, and just to see her coming along so well. And also, of course, Sister Lisa, she really is an example, such a positive spirit. So thank you for your prayer. Page number 57, open my eyes that I may see. Sing out, brethren.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false shall disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Amen. Thank you, brethren. Please be seated. Our main message today is entitled, Our Roadmap. Our Roadmap. And it will be brought to us by our beloved brother, Deacon Jan Kowalczyk.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I am so excited.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And I don't even know what to say. And it's such a blessing to see my sister here today worshiping with us. And as she mentioned at the beginning, when I saw her first time here, she was walking in the hall. All this time since March, it was March when we had our combined services together, we could actually be together. What a joy it is to be here with a full house today, here in this new facility. Brethren, just open your Bible to 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I just want to introduce my message here through this one verse here that is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And just one verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. I will take it a little bit out of context, but I just want to use it here as an introduction. So 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul is writing here. It says, examine yourself or evaluate yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Have you ever seriously tried to examine yourself? Let's just use these scriptures for a moment, just as an introduction to a message. Have you ever tried to evaluate your faith? In your opinion, what do you think? How strong is your faith? Have you ever seriously examine yourself or evaluate yourself? Let's have a little test here. Let's just think for a moment here. Just think for a second. How strong is your faith? How would you evaluate yourself when it comes to faith? Let's use an example. And I need your bravery here. How many of you think that, you know what, if let's say we use the same standard system that is used at school, how many of you would say that, you know, in my faith, I would grade myself, let's say, A+. How many of you raise your hand that says, I am an 8+ when it comes to the faith? I don't see any hands. I'm not surprised. All right. How many here of you would think that you're actually failing? You have the F grade here when it comes to the faith. Can I see any faith? Any hands? Interesting. We don't have A+, we don't have F. All right. Let's start with the B here. How many think you're, when it comes to the faith, you'll put yourself as a B student? I still don't see any. One hand. Amazing. Let's lower the bar a little bit. How about C? All right, we have two. Two. So hold on here. 1B, 3, okay? 3B, 4Bs. What is everybody else here? It's interesting. But my point is, once you try to examine yourself by yourself, what did that lead you to? Think for a moment. If you're employed by a company and boss will tell you, let's say, Jen, I just want you to take a few minutes and I want you to evaluate yourself. Of course, I'm here. Hey, I'm doing such a great job for you, you know. I commit everything, my time, my effort, everything. I think, you know what? I'm just here. All the body, just I'm all the top of everything, right? And since you asked me to evaluate myself, you know what? I think I have the right to ask for a raise now. How do we evaluate ourselves? How do we examine ourselves? I think it's much easier when you do it collectively. It's much easier when you evaluate yourself, when you have somebody to tell us how well are we doing in some departments and how weak we are in some other departments. So as I go through my message, and this is just the part one, I don't know how it's going to end, but just, you know, it'll be more I just want to think about trying to evaluate yourself. As we go through the message, yourself individually and all of us collectively as a congregation. And the reason why I want to do this thing, last week here, I don't remember which day was it, Monday or Tuesday, I don't remember. I walked through the door here, and I don't know if you noticed, there's a picture on the window. Have you seen that picture? As you walk straight through this door, there's a picture. And that picture was taken years back of our congregation where we still were meeting at the Best Western, their hotel in the basement. So I look at this picture, and all kind of emotion just stir up in me. And right beside this picture, there are two words, one on one side and the other one on the other side. And it says, our family. And I look at every person on the picture, and we're missing two people. They're not here with us, not of their own fault. Some of them, two of them, Sister Sheila and Brother Ray, died in faith. So I was looking at this picture, and then I was sorting some boxes here that we have that we just moved, just to look what's useful, what's not so useful. I came across some other thing. And you probably have it on your seat. And just for the internet audience, thank you for joining us again and just for being with us here, supporting us through all these things. But you know, if you have that, we call it a roadmap. I don't know if you can. Do you have it? Do you have the copy there? So this document was printed. You can see the date here on the left bottom corner. It was printed in 2013. And I was going back in my memory, 2013, that's when we actually started the Burlington congregation, in February 2013. It's been 8 years. 8 years. So the whole day, not just the whole day, the rest of my week, all my mind, I was just going back to all these things that we went up together here as a congregation. All these memories, good ones, bad ones, all kind of it. I was just reflecting, what have we accomplished as a congregation? And then I was just by myself, asking myself some questions. How am I doing? How am I performing here? How am I exercising my gifts, my talents? And as you go back through all these years, you can see how just the simple observations, how our numbers fluctuate. Remember? There was a peak that we have like a 35 people that come for our weekly services. Then we went down to 25. And just think about it, the number of people that visited us. They come through this door and they never show up again for whatever reason may be. Some people came for one day. Some people came for months, 4, 5, 6 months, and suddenly they just left. No reason given. Something triggered that they decided not to worship with us. This is our history. We've been through different locations. Remember that? Burlington, we started in Holiday Inn. Can you go in your memory? Remember Holiday Inn. Eventually, we find the lighthouse. It was nice locations, beautiful locations. Remember that? After lighthouse, unfortunately, we had to move. We find the Best Western, the little room in the basement. And then COVID came. We lost the room. 18 months. No physical meetings. And eventually, for a month and a bit, we started in a Casablanca Inn. Remember that? And here we are, here in our new location, brand new location. And hopefully, we'll be able to retain these locations for many, many years to come. And as I was going through all of these things, you know what? We grew up a lot through the last 3 years. You know, I try to be a little bit negative sometimes, but I was reflecting as a congregation together, the things that you went through individually and collectively. You know what? We grew up a lot. Just the fact alone that many congregations of it after COVID, they tried to get together, they lost a lot of membership. Here in Burlington, we're still together. We're still as a family. This is our family. It's amazing. And over the last 8 years, we baptized here 7 members. Can you remember that? 7 members. Who was the first one? Brother Dylan. See? Who was next?
Jesse.
Sister Linda. And she's so nice to see her here today, smiling. Member of our congregation. What a blessing. Who was next? Sister Rebecca. Who was next? Yes, Jessica. Who was next? Anna. And there was Mark. And the last one, Landon. And hopefully, brethren, as we go, as we grow together, there is still potential to baptize a few more. I'm just going back. I'm just trying to stir up some emotions that I went through over the last week. So I might be a little bit ahead of you, but hopefully we'll catch up with you. We also implement in our congregations many initiatives. 8 years, you may think that that's like a huge, you know, period of time. But on the other hand, what we have accomplished in these 8 years, it's astonishing. Just think for a moment here. How many congregations that you know you've been attending, that you know accomplish whatever we have accomplished here in Burlington? Youth study. Who can forget that? Many of you sitting here are the product of our youth study that we implemented right away from the beginning when we launched our congregation here. When numerous times through the Bible, parents heavily involved, children heavily involved, we met every single Sabbath. Every single Sabbath for a youth study before services and almost fully attended by our members. That showed the commitment. That shows the love for our young people. It's amazing. How many congregations are doing the same thing? I'm not trying to here to say that how great we are. But no, I'm just trying to say how much we have accomplished through the last 8 years. Because it's very easy to be very negative, especially with the COVID-19. But here as a family, we have accomplished a lot. Other thing, sermon discussion. How many congregations do you have out there that after sermon, you can actually challenge the speaker? Let me go even further. You can challenge the elder and say, I have a question here. Something that you said, I have a problem because it doesn't line up with the Bible. How many churches you have out there and congregations out there that actually say something, you know, that you have the right to ask questions, because in our congregation, no one stands above the Word of God. It's amazing. From the beginning till this day, we still have a sermon discussion. If I say something, you have every single right to question, what do I say it, why do I say it, and even challenge it if you disagree. Let's move on. Family fellowship. Can you remember that? Every single member here, present here, went through some of the family fellowship, the different aspect of the family fellowship. Remember the perspective session? Quick questions, challenging the congregations. Everybody think on their feet, get up, answer the questions, provoke the conversation. life stories. How much we learn about each other through the life stories that so many of you just willingly decided just to come up in front of everybody and share something about a big part, big chunk of your life that in most cases, we didn't even know it. Passover Agape Meal. Another initiative. How's this event, how it brought us all together as our family. This is our family. And this is the meal that we have together. And on top of that, potlucks. Twice a month, full potlucks with the variety of food that all our ladies and gentlemen prepare, working so hard to feed our family, not just spiritually, but physically also. Accomplishment? A lot. Through the 8 years, and again, it's easy to be critical. We have accomplished a lot. The dedication is still here. Doesn't mean that we don't have work to do, that we can't get it better. But to be honest here, I had to correct my way of thinking. It says, Jen, come on. We do much, much better than sometimes we think we do. Now, I get this paper that I showed you before, our roadmap. And I spend a lot of time on this paper alone. I will go quickly through this thing just to make here what is included in this paper. And then, as I said, it was printed in 2013. And I have a confession to make. When this paper came around in 2013, as a roadmap for our congregation, I was not ready for it. Can't blame anybody, that's my fault. I was not mature enough to fully understand what's in it. Just take a look quickly. On your left corner, top corner, there is a vision. And can you see a little bit italic there, right beside it, what it says? Can you see in italic, in a little fine print, not italic, in a fine print, can you see what it says here? What it means to have a vision. It says, what we see in our future. That's our vision. What's going to happen? What we see in our vision? And here is the arrow vision. A dynamic, actively serving congregational family that worship God in spirit and in truth, and keeps the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. How well are we doing with our vision? If you would to evaluate yourself, if you have to evaluate our congregation, what letter would you give to yourself? What letter would you give to the congregation? We're not going to do it today here, but some other times in my other parts of my message. Mission. That's the one in the middle. Basically, mission is our purpose. Why we get here together? What purpose we serve here? And it says here, to work locally, to preach the gospel to all nations, and to prepare God's people for marriage to Jesus Christ. And then you have some scriptures here. I check all the scriptures, mentally through every single one of them here. The next one, to the right, is guiding principles. And as I read this guiding principle, it means what directs us in all circumstances. This had an impact on me. Okay? Read the verse here, because actually, this guiding principle here is actually a verse, word for word from the Bible. And just look what it's saying here. That's what Brother Constantine actually read it to us today here. Look what it says here. We ought to know how to behave ourselves as the house of God which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. What I'm going to do today, I can't talk about everything that's included here on our roadmap. But what I want to start here with the guiding principle here. I am not starting with the vision or the mission. I want to start with the guiding principle. And let me tell you why. If we mess up this guiding principle, if we don't get it right, the mission and vision also make mistakes. This is how serious it is. And as we're going to go through our guiding principle, keep in your mind, okay, how would you evaluate yourself? How would you evaluate our congregation here? And open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3 here. Because that's the verse where it comes from. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And here verse 15. And it says this, but if I'm delayed, here Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, but if I'm delayed for whatever reason, he says, I write so that you may know. I would love to be present here, but if I'm delayed, I have to write something that is so important here that you need to know. Not just you need to know, but the congregations there needs to know. What is so important here about this letter? That you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And before this verse, we're going to take this verse apart because there is so much meat included in the one single verse here. So I'll take some time here. Try to take this thing apart. Look at verse 14 again. Before this verse, verse 14 said, this thing I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. What things he's writing to Timothy? Let's have a quick review here. Because we have to have the entire background here to understand what this one verse means, okay? So here, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and look how Timothy is going about, how Paul is going about here, how he's writing this letter to Timothy. So here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, just verse 3, just quickly, we're just going to just review it here. Verse 3, he says, as I urge you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus. Remain here for what reasons? That you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Remember, to all these years, we said, doctrine, the right doctrine, creates the right behavior. Without the right doctrines, we might have a crazy behavior. They always go hand in hand. You can't separate them. And here, Paul is saying right away, teach no other doctrine, Timothy. Okay, so there is a doctrine. There is the right doctrine. There is the correct doctrine that we need to teach. And there is a danger if we don't teach the correct doctrine. Verse 4. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which causes disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. Think about it. If my job, let's say, if I come here to speak and only I bring to you a controversies or something that may not be easily provable from the word of God, instead of providing edification, I wasted my time. And even more importantly, I wasted your time. Because at the end of the day, we go home not edified. We miss the mark. Okay? We miss the mark. This is how important it is. When we come together, think what we want to say, how we want to say, how we want to impact the others as we come together for a Sabbath, which have a lot of problems. But at the end of the Sabbath day, we should be walking away here fully edified, ready to head on another week. This is the main purpose. My job here is not to confuse you. My job here is not to stir up some controversy or something like that, okay? Yes, we can talk about difficult scriptures. But at the end of the day, we need edifications here. And here, just keep reading, verse 5. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from the pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith. Again, the motive I speak to you, the motive behind my message, if I just wanted to gratify myself, I missed the point, you missed the point. If I speak to you because I don't love you, then everything is just about me and it's nothing about you, then you shouldn't have me here speaking to you. I'm in the wrong place. I'm using the wrong motive, not based on love, on self-gratification. And eventually will come up. Verse 6, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor the things which they affirm. If you're just doing this, all these things, because you just want to show everybody how smart you are, and how many scriptures you can quote, and you know, but you're doing from the wrong motive, it will come up. It will come up. Because you will not have humility based on love. Eventually say, hey, I want to be a teacher here, okay? I want to have my own congregation. The people's going to do whatever I want them to do. They listen to whatever I have to say to them. Not hear what the Word of God has to say. And verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, and is subordinate for the ungodly, for sinners, the unholy, the profane, and on and on and on. We have full understanding what the law is all about. And as we skip now, the same chapter, look at verse 12 here. And this few next four verses, it's just amazing why Paul converted to Jesus Christ and the reason why Christ did it. Just listen here. That's Paul writing, okay? Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am a chief. And verse 16. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy. Then in me, first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. This is something for us to learn. Christ Jesus is all this spectacular miracle to convert this man. So when we look at this man 2,000 years later, what he used to be, and in the end, who he become to be. It's an amazing story. But this is an example for all of us to follow here. And now here, as we go through this letter here, brethren, and then we come to chapter 3. And remember, he was writing this thing. He says, I want to be there. I want to be with you, Timothy. But if I am delayed, if I'm not here for any reason, I'm writing you these things. So you, as a household of God, you will know how to behave. It's serious. Verse 3. Verse chapter 3. We're not going to go through specific here, but you have all the qualifications of the elders of the church. Timothy, if you ordain men to this position, don't take shortcuts. This is important. Go through all these qualifications. Because if you want the congregation to behave in a rightful way, you need to have a right men, right leaders at their places here. Please, no shortcuts. And after that, whole list of qualifications for deacons. The same story. Don't put people in place if they're not qualified. Simple. And after all these qualifications, we back at verse 14. All this thing that we just said it, right? All this little summary that we just said it. Verse 14. Now just read it with the full context. Okay? This thing I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, make sure that you retain this thing. But if I am delayed, and again, I write so that you may know, Timothy, you may know for sure how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Not on the street, even though that's important. But in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You see the picture now? The fuller picture? Sometimes we just take one verse out of context, but we don't see the full picture. We don't appreciate what the verse actually is standing for. Now just imagine for a moment. This entire letter hangs around this one verse. The whole purpose for Paul to write this letter to Timothy is about this one verse. Let me read to you this verse from the Complete Jewish Bible. Complete Jewish Bible. So that if I'm delayed, you may know how one should behave in the household of God, which is the messianic community of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Let's take this verse apart. This verse, just take it apart. Some critical aspect that we have to slow down. They take one word or a few words just at the time, just to have a deeper, much deeper appreciation what Paul is trying to convey here to Timothy. Okay? Behavior or conduct. Think how serious this thing is. Okay? Behavior, conduct. And as I said, the reason Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, just because of this one verse. So you ought to know, you're supposed to know when you get together how to behave. And how to behave, I just wrote it to you. Okay, I give you just a little overview. I wrote it to you. So when you get together, collectively, individually, you know how to behave. Behavior conduct will reflect how strong is your faith in Christ. Okay? The household of God. Think about it. Household of God. Hold your place here. Hold your place here in 1 Timothy and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hold your place here, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Household of God. We try to figure out what it is, what it means. 1 Corinthians 3 and chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Sorry, I apologize. For we are God's fellow workers. Verse 9. You are God's field. You are God's building. And according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. We are a household of God, every single one of us. But please, be careful what we bring and how we try to build it, okay? That's the warning. And verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid already, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. Foundation is unmovable. Foundation is indestructible. No matter whoever will try it, will be never ever be able to destroy the foundation. Okay, go back to 1 Timothy here. So we are the household of God. All of us who believe in Christ, all of us who have God's Holy Spirit, we are becoming a household of God. And as we gather together, if we the household of God, it should reflect again how we behave. What's our conduct? And what's our conduct, not just when we come here together, but also what's our conduct when we're out there? The living God. Second Corinthians chapter, hold your place here. Second Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 16. And Paul is quoting here a lot of scriptures coming from the Hebrew Bible. And we're not going to go there, but just quickly read, just to give you an idea. When somebody is writing about what it's supposed to mean, a living God, okay? A household of God. Household of the living God, okay? So here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Just breaking into the context here. But again, and what agreement has the temple of God us with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Okay, we're not just temple of God. Not just temple of some historic God that, you know, used to live or whatever. Used to be here some times ago. This household of God, God is present here. He is living among us. Not just on the Sabbath day, but also on Sundays, on Mondays, and Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. That's the whole thing. And it says, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, as a household of God, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Behavior. If you claim that you belong to the household of God, this claim should reflect how we behave together and individually, the living God. Now, the pillar. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. The pillar. So here the Greek word for this is stulos. And pillar can mean a lot of things. But basically it means a post. Something that supports something. That's basically what the pillar is for. And from the scriptures we understand that the church, the household of God, is built on the foundations of Jesus Christ. But out of these foundations of Jesus Christ, there is a pillar. What's the reason for the pillar? We don't put a pillar, we don't build a pillar just so it looks nice for decorative purposes. Pillars have a function. Pillars hold the roofs. Okay? Pillars hold the buildings. Pillars hold the bridges. And I could go on and on and on. You understand what I mean by pillars? We supposed to be the pillars. Pillars that build on the foundation of Christ. And what's the pillar for? As I said, they hold something. They uphold something. What do they uphold? And here we have another term that Paul is using here. Ground. Okay? And here the Greek word ground, I'll not try to pronounce it. You can find yourself, most of you using electronic media anyway. But the Greek word ground is not the ground that normally we're using to describe the ground that we're standing here. It's a different ground. This ground means, here in this case, it means a support, a stay, a prop, a support. So the pillar is one thing, and there is a support to hold this pillar straight, to make sure that this pillar that is supposed to do some purpose, to uphold something, is always straight. And the pillar is not the foundation. The pillar is not the truth. Okay? It's not the truth. Jesus Christ, he is true. His word is true. We, being the pillar, we are not the foundations, and we are not the truth. But what pillars do? We as a pillars, we uphold the truth. We're lifting it up so that everybody could see it. We make sure as a church of the living God, we hold this to his highest standard that everybody could see it in this world. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what Paul is referring to as a pillar, as a ground. Church is not a building. Church is not even an institution. Church is people. Our job is to promote, to preserve the truth in this crazy society, in this crazy world. That's it. And how we preserve it. As a pillar, we not just lift it up for everyone to see it. We live it so everybody can see it. Not just give a nice speeches here, but to live whatever we preach. That's the idea. This is a serious stuff, right? Just from one verse. Not something that we just go over, just read it quickly and just say like, oh, you know, that's a nice poetry here, a nice, you know, nice sentence. It has a meaning. It's a rich, very rich in a meaning. Here, as I said, when Paul, what he did, just based on this one verse, he's writing the whole letter to Timothy here. Look here in chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 here. And look here on verse 13. He's writing to Timothy, he says, verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading. Reading what? The newspapers? Reading what? The latest ones on the Facebook, Instagram? Now he says, give attention to reading what? The Holy Scripture. This is the truth that we're supposed to uphold. This is the truth that we're supposed to preach. That's why we are called the disciples. Okay? If we can't do this thing, as a church collectively, as a household of God, if we can't do this thing, but you know what? We just become a social club. That's it. Just gather together, give you a nice motivational speech. Let's have a coffee and a cookie. just, you know, make each other feel good and just go home. But it's more than that. It's so much more than that here. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortations, and to doctrine. Okay? So we can understand, so we can preach it. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by a prophecy, the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Verse 15. Meditate on these things. In 2013, I had no clue what it means to meditate on the word of God. 8 years later, I think I have a better understanding what it means to meditate. It took me all this time. But hopefully I'm growing. I'm growing, hopefully. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. How would you evaluate yourself? How would I evaluate myself? As a person, as a brother, as a husband, as a father, as a deacon, as a speaker, how would you evaluate me? I can try to evaluate myself, but what's more important? I would like to hear how you would evaluate myself so I can find the area where I need to work. And that's a challenge. That needs to be trust among each other. If I say something to somebody, usually people take offense. Who are you to tell me what to do? Based on what he said, telling me, you know, how I should behave or how you know, who gives you the right to correct me? It's a very delicate matter, very delicate balance, especially in this society that we live in that we call democracy. Or just individuals. I do what I please, and please don't tell me what to do, right? So, brother, I can't emphasize. Let's just finish it. Meditate on this thing. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress might be evident to all. Verse 16. Take heed to yourself. And again, to what? To the doctrine. Because the right doctrine pushes the right behavior, right? Continue in them. Why? For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Wow. What a powerful message. So whatever I speak here to you, hopefully I uphold the truth that is coming from this word. I'm not trying to promote my own idea because you know what? I fell short. But here is the standard that I judge myself. Not against you, each other, against here, about Christ, against the apostle, about the word of God. That's how we evaluate yourself, right? Now, I can't emphasize enough how important this guiding principle is. Okay?
Now we have the Word of God. No surprise what Paul is writing, that we are the pillar. That we, our job is to uphold the Word of God to the highest possible standard. Do you understand this concept now better? I hope so. I hope that I explained myself here well enough. Also here on this roadmap, guiding principle, right? It says here with a little fine print here, guiding principle, we can find it, will direct us in what? In all circumstances. Will direct us in all circumstances. Brethren, eternal circumstances will always change. There are some things that we have absolutely no control over. It. We don't have control over the pandemic. It just came. It's still here. We don't have control, much control over our social issues, over our political system. We have no control over it. But it doesn't matter. One thing that we have control of, through all this confusion, through all these things, all the external factor, we can control how we behave. Internal. That's the purpose. Who cares what's happening outside? Don't get me wrong. But as a believer, whatever is happening is happening. Things will change. Things will change for the worst. It will impact our life. But in the end, it will not impact our doctrines. It will not impact our behaviors. And let me go back. If ever impacts our doctrine, if ever this thing impacts our behavior, it's for the better. Not for the worst. It's for the better. We are more loving. We are more caring. Okay? We have more ability to explain the word of God to others. We have more zeal, more passion. Not the other way around. 2 Timothy chapter 3 here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a well-known scripture here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, totally equipped for every good work. Do we have the ability to be corrected when needed, or we take an offense? Many people walk away because the minister might say harsh words. Or sometimes the minister was talking about me personally. Can you take a correction from your brothers and from your sisters? Can I take the correction? For any single one of you? It depends how the correction is given too, right? Are we open? Can we evaluate each other? Well, that would be just a simple thing to do to some. As I said, external things, external influence, we don't have control. Internally, we have every possible control. We have the Word of God. Let's study it and change our behavior accordingly. Okay? And now, Philippians chapter. Let's go Philippians chapter 4 here. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, as the situations, especially the external situations, are changing so quickly in front of our eyes, we need to find a peace. We need to accept it and try to find a way how we can deal with all of these things, not
bringing an impact, destructive impact into our congregations, into our homes, into our churches. Here Paul is saying in verse 9, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. He's writing here to Philippians, he said, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. You see it again. The things which you learned and you received and you heard and saw in me, this do. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what Paul was writing. Okay? And these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Don't worry about the external situation. Just do what's good. As a household of God, household of the living God, we should know how to behave, what to do. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need. Look what Paul is saying here. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. You're persecuted, be content. You're poor, you'll be content. You're rich, you'll be content. Don't worry, God will provide. Stay faithful, uphold the word of truth. This is our job, what we have to do, till Christ comes. Verse 12, I know how to abase and I know how to abandon. Everyone, abound, everyone, everywhere, and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, how we misquote this verse. This one verse, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Once we learn this thing, that the external factor will not have influence over us, over our lives, over our families, we can say the same thing. Now I know God. Now I know the Father. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. The same chapter, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what's happening outside, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. We are the household of God. We are the household of the living God. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. As a household of the living God, we have to come to this moment of our lives. No matter what's happening externally, we're anxious for nothing. Church service is a church service. Sabbath service is a Sabbath service. We come to edify each other. Now, in closing, this guiding principle is so powerful. As I mentioned, if you get this guiding principle, if you're not fully mature, everything else will not fit into a place. But if you get it right, if you live by it, not just talk by it, we can accomplish as a congregation all the things that Christ is expecting out of us. And last week, stinking a lot again about our congregation, we went through a lot. And sorry, I've mentioned some names here, but I hope you'll be okay. You know, Olivia lost a husband. Beck and Andrew lost a father. Sister Lisa was sick. Many, many other of us also had a huge problem. But you know what? I am so proud of you. Here we are, a full house, worshiping God together. And you know what?
You are my family. We have to make another picture because we have new people joining us. You guys become my family. We are all household of the living God. Let me close here in John chapter 17. Here. Last scripture here, John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 14 here. John chapter 17, verse 14. Just breaking into the context here. Christ is praying this prayer here. And in verse 14, he says, I have given them your word. Christ says, I passed to my disciples, the ones that I specifically, personally trained. He says, I have given them your word, Father. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true, not the pillar. Your word is true. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And verse 20 here. It's great that Christ did it for his disciples, right? It's awesome. But verse 20. I do not pray for this alone, but also for these, for those who will believe in me through their word. And that's you and me. And yes, disciples had an issue. They fell many times. But in the end, they got their act together. Through disciples, we have the word of God preserved for us. Let us also individually and collectively uphold the word of God to the highest possible standard as much we can do. May God bless you all. Amen, brother. What a remarkable sermon. Thank you so much, brethren online. Thank you for joining us, particularly for this sermon. I think often you will see myself, you'll see Pastor Murray, you'll see Deacon Jan, but you don't know the congregation that supports us. And I think through that message, you've gotten a glimpse into our congregation, into our family. And thank you so much, Brother Jan, for reminding us of our history. 8 years, taking us back. I'm sure all of us had those moments where we were reflecting on the journey that we've been on together. Some very triumphant moments, some sad moments, but it's our history. It's what has formed this unique congregation. I think it was just a remarkable sermon, taking us back through the history, reminding us of our roadmap, zeroing in on the guiding principle, giving the context that leads up scripturally to that verse, unpacking verse, and then motivating us to go forward. Your growth over the 8 years, brother, is evident to all of us. And we value you. We value what you do as our deacon here, and certainly reminding us how to value each other and how we ought to uphold the truth and be the pillar and ground of the truth founded on Jesus Christ. What an inspiring message. Wonderful, wonderful. So let us continue in our praise of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Please stand, brethren, and take your hymnals. And those of you who are online, I know some of you will leave maybe prematurely. I would just mention one announcement early, just in case you might leave. And that is that beginning on November 6th, we are going to change the time of our service. So when we went online, we moved to 2:30 so that we could accommodate the other service that is online from Tyler. Now that we're meeting in person, some of our brethren, as the night falls earlier, they have a longer journey to make, and we want to accommodate them. And therefore, we're going to move the start time of our service up by 90 minutes, which is when we used to meet, the time we used to meet at before we went online, which is at 1 p.m. Eastern. So that way we'll finish early enough for our brethren to get home before dark. What that means, the implication of that is, we will no longer be broadcasting on cgi.online.church. So if you are receiving this message now, if you're joining us now on cgi.online.church, as of November 6th, we'll no longer be broadcasting there. We will still be on YouTube. We'll still be on Facebook. Whatever other way you're listening to us, we'll still broadcast there. Just cgi.online.church. We won't be there. In the app, we will be on Channel 2. And we'll be following the Medina service. So hopefully that's really clear as of November 6th. So next week, we'll still be available on cgi.online.church. But beginning November 6th, we will no longer be on cgi.online.church. And our start time will be at 1 p.m. We'll remind you again next week. With that, let's praise God. Let's rejoice. Wonderful message. Beautiful spiritual food that we were fed today. And I think this hymn will put us in the right mindset to reflect on the message today. 161, Blessed Be the Tie. Together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of joy and gratitude that we might come before the Creator of the universe and the God of Israel, that we might come before you as the household of the living God. And we just want to thank you, Father, for the powerful message that we received today. And just thank you, Father, for placing us in the body as it has pleased you. And it has pleased you, Father, to place us here together to support each other through this journey, this fascinating journey. What a wonderful time to be alive as the world around us points increasingly to the need for Christ to return. And as we get closer and closer to his return, We just thank you, Father, that we have each other, that we are growing and maturing in your word, that we have the opportunity to edify one another. And we thank you, God, for our roadmap that we established as part of the founding of this congregation. And as we now have this new facility to meet in, to educate, to edify, to fellowship, we thank you, God, for the reminder to get back to our roots as we forge ahead. Help us, Father, to each individually and collectively to do all we can to edify each other and to uphold the truth in a world that is increasingly dark. We thank you, Father. I thank you for the intercessory prayer, and I forgot to mention to our brother Gord, our sister Christy Romin, who faithfully joins us every week, every Bible study, every service, and is so encouraging and feels like a part. Many of our brethren who are virtual now, we've gotten to know them over the past 2 years and feel very much a part of our congregation. And she and her family have been stricken with illness for quite a while, serious illness. And she's asked for prayers, and we've been praying for her. We want to just appeal to you collectively on her behalf, Father, on her family's behalf. We pray, Father, that you'll intervene, that you'll look down from heaven, you'll bless her for her faithfulness, that you will strengthen her, Father, as you do spiritually. And when we see her posts and encouragement, we know that she's strong in the faith. And we pray, Father, likewise, that you'll strengthen her physically and help her to fully recover and her family from this illness. We rejoice before you that our sister is restored, our sister Lisa has been restored to us. We thank you, God, for this family in this part of the world, in this part of the household of God. And we pray that you'll bless all congregations of God around the world, that all of us would come to acknowledge and recognize the times that we're living in, that the leaders would lead by the word of God, and the brethren would be open to being edified and growing in the word of God. Thank you so much, Father. We praise you. Thank you so much, Jesus. We praise you. And we ask all of this in your holy and magnificent name. Amen. Amen. Brethren, please be seated. Just have a few announcements. First of all, the Wednesday night Bible study, we will continue with chapter 34. So we're up to Isaiah 34. Which means we're coming to the finish line of Isaiah. We will have gone through the entire book. We did 2nd Isaiah first. We're now wrapping up with 1st Isaiah. When we get to the end of the book of Isaiah, Pastor Murray and I will host a live Q&A. So I think that will be in about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks at the most, God willing. We will have a live Q&A. So think about, as we've gone through Isaiah, the whole book, anything that you have questions about or you'd like us to comment on, please go ahead and prepare those questions, and we will take them live from you on the night that we conclude the book of Isaiah. The Line Upon Line Bible Academy now has 2 courses available. There are many courses that we've done. They're there. They're in the academy. We just don't want to release them yet until the Q&A is ready. We feel that that interactive approach to the study is important. So we have 2 courses available so far. That's the Gospel According to Luke and the book of Acts. Some students have already completed the first course, and they're into the second course, and they're sharing the website with others, which is just a great way when friends tell friends to check something out, you're more likely to check it out. So the website, if you do want to do that, and we would encourage you to do that and ask you to do that, is lineuponlinebibleacademy.com. That's pretty easy to remember. lineuponlinebibleacademy.com. They can go ahead and register, and the courses are free. I mentioned the Sabbath service time, so November 6th will change to 1 p.m. And also, brethren, we'll just ask you to pray for brethren who face job losses and other employment challenges due to the vaccine mandate and the economic uncertainty. So many of our brethren, they don't know whether they're coming or going. Some have actually already lost their jobs because of the economic uncertainty. Also, pray for brethren who have had to take the vaccine. There's no long-term safety data. So they are at risk as well. So some maybe even feel forced in order to participate in society that they have to. So let's pray for brethren in both cases. With that, brethren, we do have our closing scripture. I can think, Brother Dan, of no other scripture to close with. Brethren, please stand for the closing. Then 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. I think this this scripture has really come to life in how it was exegeted this afternoon. 1 Timothy 3:14, in its full context, we can now appreciate this. These things, we understand what these things are. Write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. And certainly we are hoping Christ will come to us shortly. But if I tarry long, and the prophecy is that Christ will tarry, and many will fall asleep. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Praise God, brethren.